Welcome to The Brian Buffini Show, where we explore the mindsets, motivation, and methodologies of success. Here's your coach, Brian Buffini.
Well, the top of the morning to you. Welcome to The Brian Buffini Show. Gonna talk a little money today, specifically in the area of the three different things that are out there in the marketplace that can threaten your financial well-being. The three threats to wealth. Very hard thing for an Irishman to say, especially Dubliners. We have three trees, a small forest. So they weren't kind to me when they came up with this title, but I came up with the content, and I want to talk to you about this. This is stuff I've shared with my own family. This is a little bit of how I approach my own financial well-being, and especially timely for where we are today. So here we go. There's three things we got to watch. The first is lifestyle spending, right? So our lifestyle and what it costs to contribute to that. The second thing is inflation, very hot topic these days. And the third is taxation, always a hot topic for different reasons. So we're going to talk about it. Spending, inflation, taxation. So a definition of spending, do you really need one? But it's to expend or waste wealth or strength, right? You expend energy. An activity in which someone is engaged over a period of time, no doubt. In fact, I would definitely say my spending increased the day I got engaged. How about them apples? So the fact of the matter is, the number one question that people ask when it comes to money is, I just don't know when they're asked, well, what do you do with your money? I don't know where it all goes. I don't know where it goes. And I tell people that, you know, money's like a gas that escapes. It finds whatever leaks there are. It finds whatever cracks in the system there are. It's like a hole in the balloon. It's going to find it. And literally, I've seen people many, many times who had an increase in income, an increase in income, an increase in income, and they're in this exact same spot. And you can probably think back to when your expenses were a lot less than what they are today. And you go, well, it won't get much higher than this. Oh, really? Oh, really? Yes, it can. So lifestyle spending. And right now, we're in the midst of an explosion in lifestyle spending. In the second quarter of 2021, credit card debt in the U.S. alone increased by $17 billion in one quarter. That's to $790 billion altogether. And that was the Federal Reserve quoting that. Consumer spending, the percentage-wise, is up 11.8%. And so what's going on? What's happening? Well, money's come into the system. And I will say this. I don't try to overanalyze political movements. They try to figure things out. Sometimes it's well-meaning. Sometimes it's paying off people. Sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's that. You never know, to be honest with you. But I will say there's always unintended consequences that come along. So many different checks were sent in the mail, and some people were extraordinarily needy and barely hanging on. Our family recently took a trip to Hawaii. We've been going to the Big Island since 1994, and there were many people. We have so many relationships there, people who are working in the hotels and the restaurants and whatever else, who were on their last legs. They desperately needed money. Then what happened is there's people getting money who weren't in dire straits, and they got money now, it allowed them to stay home. So now we have this shortage of people all over the country to work, and restaurants and places saying that we have a limited menu because, or we're not opening up because people are being paid to stay home. It was interesting, about a year ago, took the family to Lake Tahoe, right? There's all the COVID stuff going on, people were doing more staycations. So we went up to Lake Tahoe. And I had reserved 7 jet skis, right? So I had to plan ahead of time. You know, it's everywhere we go with our family, it's a bigger family, we have stuff to do. So anyway, a friend of mine took care of it. We show up to the jet ski station, and there's 7 jet skis waiting there for us, and we're getting in. As I looked to the right, there was a line about a quarter of a mile long for people standing in line to rent jet skis at $75 an hour to go out on Lake Tahoe. Now, I'm doing pretty well economically, and I still thought about, okay, where am I at with 75 bucks for each one of these things, yada, yada. When I got to the head guy, oh, Mr. Feeney, we have your 7 jet skis waiting for you. I goes, are all these people going jet skiing? He goes, yeah, man, we love this stimulus money. And man, it hit me like a 2x4. I'm like, dear Lord, you know, people are getting cash to kind of keep them afloat during a crisis. People are getting cash so they can pay their rent or pay their food, and maybe they can't go to work and whatever else. And they're paying $75 an hour to go out on a lake in a jet ski. There was a lot of symptoms of that. It showed up in many different commodities. One commodity showed up in the used car business. You know that used cars are up 29.7% compared to a year ago. And so we've got money in the system and lifestyle spending. And so, oh, hey, I got checks, I got cash, I'm just going to spend it. And I'm not just, you know, railing against, you know, stimulus money or this and that and the other. But the fact of the matter is, when we have cash and we don't manage it, that cash is going to leave us. And I came up with the phrase years and years and years ago, long before the Great Recession, when I saw people using their house as an ATM machine, I was really challenging people that were spending money on things we don't need to impress people we don't even know. And here we go again. Here we go again. We're doing that. There's so much here. I'm just, again, this is an introductory type message today. There's so much more I have on this. You let me know you want to hear more on this stuff. I've got plenty more to give you. But I'm going to give you just a few tips. I just want to kind of bring it to your awareness. I just want you to kind of do, hey, take a little inventory. Where are you spending your money right now? So a couple little tips I have in regards to this one threat to your wealth is track where your money's going. You got to track. Lord Kelvin, who invented the Kelvin scale, says you can't improve what you don't measure. You've got to measure stuff. If you don't measure where your money is going, where you're spending your money, you will be, I have no idea where the money's going, and you will be constantly, you know, the old phrase, how can I be out of money? I still have checks. So many people, and the truth is I have a lot of compassion for people when it comes to finances. Most of us, certainly me, I was not trained at home. I wasn't mentored at home how to take care of money, on how to budget, how to save, and how to invest. And when I've asked that question to audiences, thousands and thousands of people, how many of you are trained by your family to budget, to save, and invest? Maybe 1 or 2% of an audience will raise their hands, which means most of us, we weren't raised that way. How many of you went to college and school? You know, all the stuff they want to teach in school today, they don't teach people some real basic stuff about life, how to set some goals, how to manage your time, and especially how to manage your money. The amount of people who come out of business school who've never heard anything about how to manage their money is unbelievable. You have to track where your money's going. The second aspect of tracking where your money goes is to implement a budget, which always sounds dire and overwhelming. And I have good friends who are in the business of teaching people on finance go, I don't even teach budgeting anymore because people don't do it. And all I would say is this, if someone doesn't have a budget, that person is not in control of their money. Simple as that. If it's not written down and tracked, you are not in control of your money. Your money's in control of you, and you're in trouble. You're heading for trouble, or maybe you're already in trouble, or maybe you're so far in trouble, you're just in denial. And so you got to track where your money's going, and then you got to put a budget in place. And then if you share your life with somebody economically, you got to get on the same economic page with your partner. You got to get on the same economic page with your partner, and this is very, very challenging indeed. You know, here I am. I'm the son of an independent contractor house painter who marries a gal from a different culture, South Carolina, dad's in the Air Force. So her dad's a government employee. Her mom's a nurse. I grew up in Ireland, totally different economic structure. And we're independent contractors, house painters, trying to get on the same page economically. Let me tell you, that was real challenging. Here I was an entrepreneur selling real estate, always in business. Beverly's always only been comfortable with the concept of a paycheck, as opposed to here's a commission salesman and money comes in chunks rather than in this nice flow every week or 2 weeks or that kind of thing. It's very, very important you get on the same page. They say money's the number one reason for divorce, and I don't believe that. What I believe, it's the one subject that a couple can't avoid talking about, can't avoid getting into conflict over. And so they'll point back to that we had big money problems, but what we had was communication problems. We had different ideologies, philosophies, approaches, and the battlefield was money. And so it's very, very important you get on the same page. If you can't get on the same page, at least get in the same book and then work to get in the same chapter and then work to get on the same page. So again, lots more on that. There's so many great resources today and tools and apps and Mint and Good Budget and all the different apps that are out there that can help you manage your money. It really is a lot simpler than it used to be. A.A. Latimer used to say, a budget is a mathematical confirmation of your suspicions. Just get it down. Just get it down. And I always recommend doing it in paper first. And I've had people who've avoided, I've been talking to them for months and months and sometimes over a year, and they're so intimidated by the process. And finally, we'll go to breakfast and I'll just have my list and say, okay, how much is your housing? How much is your car? How much is this? And they're looking up their phone and we go through it and we go through it and I go, this isn't perfect, but I'll slide it over to them in about 10 or 15 minutes. This budget's about 95%. Now go finish the rest of it. It always seems very intimidating. At Buffini & Company, in our business coaching company, it's imperative that we have people have a home budget because we help people create more revenue. They go from, on average, 35 grand to making well over 300. But the fact of the matter is you make well over 300 and spend well over 400. So we always have to help somebody through this process. It's just critical. So that lifestyle spending, no matter how much money you make, you can spend more than you make. And the system is set up for you to spend more money than you make. The system is set up for you to kick the payments down the street. And that's what we do. That's what the government does, right? We're heading towards $30 trillion in national debt. Just kicking the can, kicking the can, kicking the can. The point is eventually all of these cans end up piling up somewhere. In our own personal lives, we can't do what the government does because government just prints more money. We'll talk about that here in a minute. We can make more money, but you got to spend it. So we got to make sure that lifestyle spending is one of the greatest threats to our chance to have a really economic fortress, economic security, economic and financial freedom. So you got to take care of the lifestyle spending. The second thing, which is very, very important to today, haven't really been a hot topic since the early 80s, is inflation. But if you're hearing about it and you hear conversations about it and there's people who are a little older who are kind of freaking out about it and young people are like, ah, it doesn't seem like such a big deal. And there's lots of college professors, some of them are even now in Washington as consultants to the politicians who say inflation is just not that big a deal. Well, let me say this. Inflation is one of the biggest deals for smashing a person's lifetime of work, economics, and well-being. No question about it. Warren Buffett doesn't worry about much. He says, you know, when it comes to investing, he goes, when people get nervous, I get greedy. Well, when people get greedy, I get nervous. But there's one thing that scares Warren Buffett economically. It's inflation. By definition, it's a general increase in prices and a fall in the purchasing value of money. So money becomes worth less. That's a big deal. And so inflation is currently happening, and we're going to talk about it. Milton Friedman, who's one of my economic heroes, he was out of the University of Chicago. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant mind. He says, inflation is taxation without legislation. Will Rogers, the great satirist, said, invest in inflation. It's the only thing that's going up. And then Margaret Thatcher said, inflation is the parent of unemployment and the unseen robber of those who've saved. It hits everybody. It hits everybody. And we are experiencing it right now. I mentioned used cars going up. Well, you know, there's money in the system and so on and so forth. 29% increase in a used car price in just a year. Inflation is happening because we have increased money supply. So when you hear stimulus and the government's doing this and we have 2.3 trillion or 3.5 trillion or whatever else, that means that there's increased money supply. Increased money supply equals inflation. Next, declining value of the dollar. So you increase the value of something. So let's say everywhere you went on the street or you went down the beach and all you saw were diamonds or all you saw was gold. Gold and diamonds wouldn't be that valuable. It's what makes them valuable is their scarcity. And so when you make something more prevalent, the fact of the matter is it becomes less valuable. And so we have a declining value in the dollar. The world's most important currency has been for 100 years. Winston Churchill used to say of the dollar, I hate the US dollar. It's just better than every other currency in the world. And it still is. And that's why so many other countries, many countries, including China and Russia and all these other countries around the world, you'd be shocked to find out how much they invest in the US dollar. And so the dollar, when it's being printed, the dollar, when it's being increased in supply, becomes less valuable. And so then the third thing is we have issues with the supply chain. So we have supply chain issues because of work, because of COVID, less workers. We had here in Southern California, at Long Beach, we had container ships lined up out to sea because they were only being unloaded every couple of days. So the supply chain is the reason we have it, declining value of the dollar, and then increased money supply. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. I mean, I've obviously been involved in a lot of different projects around real estate. I'm always interested in the cost of building materials. And this last 12 months, I mean, lumber. At one stage, I was talking to my contractor, and he had one of his workmen there. He paid him $30 an hour. And there were 2 2x4s in the back of the truck. And he looked at me and he said, those 2x4s cost more than that man's hour. Shocking stuff. Inflation. Prices going up, clothing up, cars up. And the inflation rate as it stands today is 5.4%. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means if you take out of your wallet right now a $100 bill and you look at that $100 bill, since January of this year, that $100 bill is now worth $94.60. And next year, it'll be worth less again. And this is why when it comes to inflation, it's very, very important you get your head around it. You know, the old nursery rhyme when you were a kid, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza, a hole. Well, inflation is a hole in your economic bucket. Imagine you have a big bucket of water, and that's your fortune, and you have a 5% of the bottom of the bucket has a hole in it. How much of the water will eventually drain out over time? Doesn't go right away, but how much of the water will drain? 100% of it. Let me prove it to you. You know, I always love coming back from Las Vegas. I can honestly say there are very few people have ever gone to Las Vegas in their life and made more money than me. And the reason being is I've been going to Las Vegas for 25 years to speak at conferences, conventions, and put on events. And I don't enjoy gambling. So I've never put a dollar in a slot machine. And I always go to Vegas to work. And I've always made a lot of money when I do that. So I come home from Vegas all the time after making a lot of money. And from time to time, you know, I've had my own plane for 17 years. But before and after, I'll come home on a commercial flight. And I always love, it's like a Sunday evening, and there's folks sitting there, a lot of guys especially, and you can tell they've had a few too many drinks, and they're kind of sobering up and whatever. And they're always telling their story. And they're always telling stories like they won. And I've often thought, I go down the plane, and you listen, one after the other, everybody's telling the story about how much they won. And then you look up at those big buildings in Vegas and how big they are. And how much expense they cost. And how are all these casinos, they look so great. The people working there. And then you see they're publicly traded. And these casinos are making a ton of money. So the casinos are making a fortune. But everybody on the plane's a winner. How does that work? Well, here's how it works. The casino doesn't have a 100% chance of beating you. The casino going to lose to you sometimes. In fact, the casino loses to you a lot. But the casino, the house odds on average are 3% in the casino's favor. Now, that's less than 5.4%. And if you stay at a casino long enough and they have a 3% advantage, eventually you will lose all your money. It's the old joke they used to have, the whales, they call them, which is the big gamblers. And they'd fly them in. And the number of times that some big gamblers won $8 or $10 million and he's heading back on the casino-owned aircraft and they take off. And the next thing you know, they get about a half hour out of Henderson. And the next thing you know, oh, sorry, we're having technical difficulties. We need to return. Oh, we'll put you up in the hotel. We'll take care of you. And what does the gambler do? Go right back to the table. Because the casino knows all we got to do is let them stay at the tables for long enough because we have a 3% advantage. And eventually, no matter how hot of a streak the gambler's on, the casino's going to win because they have a 3% advantage. Inflation is a 5.4% advantage. Now, here's where it shows up emotionally. When you have cash and there's inflation, you're at risk because the cash is the water in the bucket. And so inflation is a very, very, very deadly game because you feel good when you have cash, but that inflation, it's going to come and get you all. And so that's why it's a very, very dangerous thing. So my quote has always been to combat inflation, you need assets which appreciate, and especially if you have them leveraged, they have to have a fixed payment. One of the reasons why there's been such a huge boon in the real estate business. People know there's inflation, and there's more inflation coming. So you buy a house that can appreciate, and there's fixed rate mortgages. So my payment's not going up, but my asset is. And that's why real estate is one of the greatest hedges against inflation. my good friend, Dr. Lawrence Yoon, who's one of the top five economists in the world and the head of the National Association of Realtors economic team. And he's been just talking about inflation in regards to housing. In 2016, the average renter, okay, so that's someone who's spending their lifestyle, they're spending to live, their average net worth was $5,300, but the average homeowner had a net worth of $246,000. By 2019, the average renter had gone from $5,300 to $6,300, while the homeowner had gone from $246 to $255. And already in 2021, the average renter is $8,000, but the average homeowner is $297,000. Why? Because they're in an asset that's appreciated. Assets appreciate. That's why people are buying houses, commercial buildings, real estate, so on and so forth. Stocks can also be a hedge against inflation, though you got to be a little wiser. It's interesting, Buffett's anti-inflation investment strategies, and again, this is just a little sampler today. I have a lot more to say on this, but ultimately, invest in good businesses with low capital needs. So good businesses that don't have giant needs for cash, okay? Why? Because the cash is depreciating. And so there's a lot of businesses that, oh yeah, we made X amount of dollars. We brought in a giant amount, but we expended a ton of cash and we made this little margin. No. So you want good businesses with low capital needs. Second, look for companies that can raise prices during times of higher inflation. That's why he loves Coca-Cola, because they can add a penny to a can of Coke, which will bring in, you know, $1 billion a day type thing. And then his last advice, which I think is brilliant, is invest in yourself. The greatest way to beat inflation is invest in yourself. Invest in training, invest in coaching, make yourself better. Do the things you need to do to make yourself better. I just bought a Peloton. That's one of the better investments I'm going to make against inflation, making myself better. So we know that lifestyle spending is one. We know that inflation is another. And then the third is tax. And I'm not going to get on my high horse about all of this. There's some genuine things. And in the world we live in today, and the way things are packaged and the way things are pushed out in media, I don't mind telling people stuff is stupid. And a lot of stuff around taxation and the talk of it is really stupid, and it's all packaging. So tax is one of the greatest threats to your wealth. It's a compulsory contribution to state revenue levied by the government on workers, its incomes, business profits, or added to the cost of some goods, services, and then transactions, no doubt. So these are not all the taxes, but these are the seven biggest taxes. Income tax, payroll tax, sales tax. So you make money, then you buy something. You have to pay tax on what you buy. One of the things you'll buy is a piece of real estate. You get property tax. You know, you buy a car, you get a gas tax. Then you actually might invest some money. And if you sell that asset, you'll be taxed on the gains, called capital gains tax. And then you want to gift taxes, and you might be charged taxes on gifting taxes. And then when you die, you have estate taxes. So I always love this. I always love when the politicians say it's time for people to pay their fair share. And I have no idea what the hell that means. Because all I know is when I paid money on the earnings, and then I paid taxes when I spent it. And then when I invested in sound assets, I got taxed on that too, like a home, like real estate. And then if I made a profit, I got taxed on the profits. And then if I tried to give it to family or friends, I got taxed on that. And now, setting up my end-of-life scenario, I got to work hard to make sure the government doesn't get all of that as well. By the way, if you don't have a will, and we'll talk about that in a minute, if you don't have a will, you die what's called intestate. And the U.S. government gets to take 50% of whatever your entire nest egg and net worth is. So I don't know what paying your fair share is. All I know is this. 61% of Americans did not pay federal income tax last year. 61%. You know, a long, long time ago, you used to have to pay taxes and own a piece of real estate in order to vote. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but think about this. If 60% of the people who are in the community are not paying taxes, but get to decide what the policies are and what tax policy is, it's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting. And so, you know, what that says to me is, okay, I'm not waiting for the government to change. I'm not waiting for the government to get their act together. No matter what I see, no matter what party is involved, they love spending tax dollars. And you never spend someone else's money like you do your own. So I am making sure I'm paying attention to taxes. By the way, I believe it's a privilege to pay taxes. When I see the military do their thing, I'm very, very thankful for them. And policemen and firemen, I'm glad there's roads to drive on and bridges to go over. And it's a privilege to pay taxes. I became a citizen of this country by choice, and I consider it a privilege to pay taxes. I do. But I also know all the work and all the time and all the late hours that have gone on in building a career, try to take care of my family, my loved ones, my family back in Ireland, everything. So I pay a lot of attention to making sure I don't pay a dollar more in taxes than I need to. You know, Winston Churchill said, for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket trying to lift himself up by the handle. No doubt about it. So just a couple of tips. This is just a little appetizer stuff. You want to hear more? I want to hear more from you. Let me know. I really have a whole wealth of training and teaching and insights I can give you on this, on how to build a fortune, how to make a fortune, how you're wired up to be good at money and how you can use that and all those kinds of things. But just for today, here's a few tips. First of all, make sure you're funding a retirement if you have access to one, whether it's a 401k, a Roth IRA, any of those types of things, because they tend to be the one tax break you can get out there for a self-employed person. There's a SEP, an RRS if you're in Canada. Take advantage of things like that when your retirement, your retirement's part of your wealth planning. There's certain vehicles, there's only a few left. Invest in those for sure. Health savings account, things like that. Take advantage of tax credits. There's a number of tax credits available. Make sure you know what they are. A great thing, if you're an employee, make sure you have a side business or a side hustle, because that's a way not only for you to grow and try to develop additional revenue, but it's also a way for you to have expenses that you can write off, that you can't write off if you're an employee. And then you want to minimize your tax exposure. And like I mentioned, something like a will. 51% of Americans don't have a will. That means if you got hit by a car tonight, the government owns 50-50 partnership with those you leave behind. You can get it online and you can write it up in an hour. Not for an hour, 10 minutes. Okay? So, and they have them even free. There's attorneys online that you can get for $50 or $80. So you can get a will. The next level on that is a trust. Then you get into giving, estate planning, all that kind of good stuff. Bottom line is this. As the tax laws get more extreme, I spend more of my time in tax planning. And the better I do, the more time I spend. And I wish I was spending more of my time building even bigger businesses and employing more people and doing all that type of stuff. But there comes a point in time where it's like, hey, hang on a second here. I need to take care of business. And part of that business is taking care of the taxation. So you gotta learn about it, you know. This here today, I'm actually just kind of getting warmed up. I'm kind of fired up to get after it. But it's kind of an appetizer for you. I do have a resource for you. If you want to go, and we used to do a lot more of this. We have a cool resource for you on the 3 keys to wealth with some tips for you. So go to thebrianbuffinishow.com and we have a resource there you can download and kind of look at this, because this is a little bit more meaty. Next week, we have Rachel Cruz, who's Dave Ramsey's daughter, who wrote a neat book that really talks about how you show up with money. You know, what's your style? What's your methodologies with money? And really a kind of very good relational approach with that. So that'll be next week. And like I say, keep letting us know. If you want more of this, if you want to hear more of this stuff on the money stuff, I'm happy to do it, happy to talk about it. But we talked about 3 threats to wealth today. Lifestyle spending, no matter what, take the time to take a look at where your money's currently going. Even if you make a few small changes. Maybe it's, you brewed a coffee at home instead of always bellying up to Starbucks and giving them $15 a couple times a day. Where are you spending your money? Inflation. There's a hole in the bucket there, Eliza. You got to make sure that you understand. It might feel great to have that cash. That cash's got to be working. Now, you got to have some cash, and you got to have reserves, and you got to have the rainy day fund in case something happens. Having some cash is critical, but having all cash is dangerous. And then make sure you're investing in assets, fixed assets like real estate, appreciating assets, stocks. And the number one asset, according to Warren Buffett, is yourself. Are you investing any money in yourself? Are you investing in a coach? Are you investing in training? Are you investing in books? Are you investing in taking classes? What investment have you made in yourself in the last 90 days? And if you haven't invested in yourself in the last 90 days, you haven't appreciated in the last 90 days. And then taxation. And so you want to make sure you pay attention. There's lots of taxes out there for you to pay your fair share. We want to make sure that you pay what you need to pay, but don't pay what you don't. So hopefully this has been helpful for you today. It's always, I enjoy talking about this subject. I wasn't very good with money, and then I was. And I found out that by learning the ways of money, I had a chance to change my family's fortune, my extended family's fortune. And I've been very, very broke, and I've been very, very rich. And I want to say this, being rich is better than broke. So I hope you enjoyed this today. I leave you with my mom. You know, they used to say, my mother, she could squeeze a shilling. And she could squeeze it so that both sides look the same. She knows how to take care of that dough. She never spent too much, that's for sure. Always live within her means. And so She has a little blessing to send you off today. Go to brianbuffinishow.com, download that resource, and then join me next week for Rachel Cruz. I think you'll like that too. So thanks for joining me today. I hope this was helpful food for thought. God bless. We'll see you next time.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.